Welcome to selfdiscoveryradio.com, where the orchard of wisdom is just ready for picking. We celebrate your why, the journey that you've taken that inspires someone else. We support your services, we support your story. Come and be our guest, become a host, be an author with us, come see what we've got. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another wonderful show of Eco Solutions and the Let's Get Synced series. I have somebody very special here today. I'm talking about a subject that's very, very warm to my heart. It is about water. Water is something that we do take for granted all the time. We don't realize that we are water. Our bodies are made up of that. Just about everything we touch is water, and that water itself has a consciousness. Water is something that's very, very important to us. And the gentleman that we have here, hold on a second, I'm going to get this, Yashiki Momoto from Japan. Yeah. I'm hoping that I've done an honor that. And his story, his passion, his education to us all is on water, the science of water, the consciousness of water, how we actually can understand the different waters and the power and the energy and the frequency that it has, and why water is so very, very important to us. He started a wonderful project called Project of Love and Thanks to Water back in July in 2002 with Dr. Emoto, and the ceremony to send love and gratitude to water for the world. I think we're at a time in life where we really need to awaken our consciousness and actually understand why we actually have a need to wake up, a need to wake up to what is going on in the world, a need to wake up to the consciousness that lies within us, and to actually understand that everything has energy. Everything has an energy signature, a frequency that serves us. And we need to raise our vibration in order to match it. So we're going to talk about this wonderful subject of water and its consciousness, its importance. I'm sorry if you're hearing any dinging in the background. There's something going on here, which I'm not quite sure what. Let me see. I'll switch something off here. There we go. And we're going to be talking about exactly why water is so important and what we can do to be more aware of it. So welcome to the show, Yashi. It's wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Yeah, I'm very happy to be here.
And folks, this is after midnight for him. So, you know, this is real dedication to get his story out there because he's in Japan. And, but, you know, water is one of my favorite subjects because people really do not actually understand the power of water. You know, they use it in their, you know, their coffee, their tea, they bathe in it, they wash in it, but they really do not understand the fact we're running out of water or what energy water holds. When you look at a ship on the ocean and you think, how can the water hold that? You know, and it's quite miraculous water in every way. And you've really studied it and studied it from around the world as well, haven't you?
Yeah. Because I started about the research of water with Dr. Emoto. Mm-hmm. It was, as you said, year 2002. Then, I was with him for his lecture tour, not only in Japan, but in the foreign countries. Mm-hmm. He passed away, unfortunately, like 4 years ago. But also at the same timing, I attended water conference, international water conference for water scientists, you know, and the researcher. And then I was very happy. I was very fortunate to have a connection with a scientist and water scientist in the world. And so after that, I am studying the water scientifically. Mm-hmm. And so my presentation is almost always about the message from water, which mm-hmm. is a work by the late Dr. Emoto, as you know, maybe, and also the connection between the message from water and the new science of water. And as you said, the water is very important because without water, we cannot survive.
Exactly.
It's a common sense. And usually, yeah, I believe that without water, maybe you can survive like 1 week or 10 days, but not more, you know.
No.
You would die. So in this sense, you know, everybody knows that water is important, mm-hmm. but it's a kind of passive, you know, view about water.
Yeah.
But recently, in the new science of water, the scientists are giving evidence that the water is much, much more active, you know, component for yes. life. And so water is communicating with, you know, other part of water, even in our body, we right. believe. So water is exchanging information, and also water is getting energy from like a sun or a light. And the water can convert the light energy into other type of energy. And I believe that water is much, much more important than you may think, you know, as a common sense. So this is a point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. And I love that test. I'm not quite sure who did it, you know, of the water, the three waters, you know, one water being in an angry room where everybody was shouting and angry, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, another mm-hmm. room with complacency, nobody, you know, no feelings whatsoever, and another room of love. And mm-hmm. seeing the very distinctiveness of the water. Mm. You yeah. know, the angry one turned black, the one that had no attention at all didn't change at all, but the one that received love and joy literally crystallized, you know, yeah. into a higher frequency. And, you know, people go, how is that so? It's just water. We forget the miraculous structure of everything about us, don't we? In every cell, in every compartment of us, not just in our body, but in this planet. Mm. And that everything is made up of something. And when yeah. we actually understand it, then we actually learn to appreciate it a lot more. Mm. You know, I've seen you've done some various tests of testing water around the world and seeing different energies, different frequencies, you know, different components to it. Would you like to share some of that with us?
Yeah, because maybe many people know about the message from water, which is a book, the collection of water crystal photographs. And Dr. Emoto started this experiment, I believe, in the year 1994. Mm-hmm. And he did many different types of experiments. Using this water crystal technology. And after 5 years, he published The Message from Water. It was the year 1999. And in this technology, you know, as you said, like we can send our love into water. Yes. And also, on the other hand, we can send like a very bad energy, yes. like you food or like that. And so he froze both waters, and he observed the water crystal structure using a microscope. And he found when you send your love and gratitude, the water showed very wonderful hexagonal, beautiful water crystals. But if you say very bad, you know, word, like you fool, or you know, I will kill you or something like that, yeah. then water didn't give you any beautiful water crystals.
No.
So Dr. Emoto, but this is not a science book, you know, it's just yes. he published like his other experience. Mm-hmm. And so some scientists are criticizing that this is not a science or like that. But after his publishing The Message from Water, mostly in this 21st century, some scientists are giving evidence that yeah. the water molecular structure or water is actually affected by your emotion or like a healing or a chi energy or like that. So,
and of course,
as you said,
we're made of water, aren't we?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So, of course, if we're going to have the bombardment of fear or hate or
yeah.
you know, discontent, that changes the water structure in our body. And that's also where dis-ease comes along, because it starts yes. breaking down all the organs. If we're yeah. people that choose to live, in a consciousness of joy, caring, you know, yeah. humanity, love and light, you know, we're going to change everything about our bodies as well, and the way that our health is and the way we perceive life. But it comes down to that choice, and people don't realize it's simply as that.
Mm. Yeah, and about that, you know, view of water, maybe have you watched the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Did you hear?
On the agenda, I'm going to watch that for sure. What's the technique do we know? Folks, let's put that on your list.
I think this movie would be very interesting to you. Mm-hmm. But this is a documentary and also the, you know, fiction. It's both. Mm-hmm. It's a combination, you know. And the point is your consciousness, like a positive or negative, and emotion will affect the water. And and as you said, that we are 70% of water, yeah. And so your emotion will affect your own, you know, energetic body. So it's very important, you know, if you have a positive attitude or negative attitude, then you have a different energy, you know. And so, yeah.
So you've studied water around the world. Would you have you seen various places where the water level consciousness has been higher than others, and are there some countries that their water consciousness is dangerously low?
Ah, that's a good question. The people, you know, for example, just the example that now I can think of is because Dr. Emoto checked many different tap waters in different cities in the world, and usually tap water is using chlorine, right, to kill the bacteria. Mm-hmm. That's of course a good thing for us, you know, to eliminate the contamination or pollution. Yes. You know, and but the chlorine it has a vibration to kill the organisms, which is a kind of not harmonious with the nature.
Right. Yes.
And so usually when we examine the tap water with this water crystal technology, we couldn't observe any beautiful water crystals. But for example, Vienna, Wien in Austria, and we found partially, you know, beautiful water crystals. And Dr. Emoto said that because the people in Wien, they love music.
Yes.
And so as a city, it has a very good vibration.
Yes.
And so those kind of vibration affected the tap water in their city.
Interesting. You know,
yeah, this okay. is, yeah, yeah.
And so is there a city where the vibrations aren't so good? Mm-hmm.
And also there are other cities, and basically in the countryside, you know, also there is those places are rich in nature.
Yes.
So we can observe better or nicer, you know, water crystals. And from the as a natural source of water, we think that the most beautiful water crystal was found in some spring water in Japan.
Ah.
It's from a mountain, you know, area.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, for example, let me just explain a little bit more.
Yes.
Which the name of the spring is called Sanbunnoichi Yusui. Sanbunnoichi means one third in Japanese. And Yusui means spring water, and which is one of the most best 100 best water spring water in Japan. You know, this Sanbunnoichi Yusui water, and it showed the most beautiful water crystal so far from a natural resource of water. And Dr. Emoto's interpretation is like this: you know, the name of one third, you know, Sanbunnoichi. The reason why, you know, they named this spring like a Sanbunnoichi is like several hundred years ago, it was a Shogun era in Japan.
Mm.
Okay. And at that time, there was a conflict to get the water, conflict in the villages, you know, downstream of the spring water. And it happened, you know, in Japan also, mm-hmm. Because they want to get more water for their rice field.
Right.
And there were three villages downstream of this water source. And so there were always conflict between those villages. So it was not peaceful. But at that time, the person who governed that area got an idea. And he made some special system to divide the water source exactly into one third, one third, one third. You know,
yes.
He made this kind of system.
Right.
And so that after this making this system, there were no conflict between the three villages. So this is the origin of the name Sanbunnoichi, which means one third. Then after that, it became very peaceful. You know, there's no conflict between the villages. And because of this episode, even now, when we checked the water crystal of this spring water, we were able to find the most beautiful water crystal so far. So this is the consciousness of the people.
Right, exactly. You know, and I think it's, we know, you know, you talked about Vienna and music. We know that music is very elevating of our consciousness. It's a very, equilibralizing of, of our presence. And it uplifts people. And of course, when you're around people and you uplift them, you know, that consciousness raises everything around them. You can measure not just the water, but you could measure everything around them and you will see it, you know, at a higher level of frequency. But why do we allow waters elsewhere? I don't know if you've tested city waters, you know, if they're different. Because obviously when you're looking at countryside or looking at mountains, there is the burden of living is just daily survival and planting. You know, they don't go around with so much that we put on our plate, you know, as city dwellers or people running companies and people with busy lives. Does the water change more in urban rather than suburban areas?
Yeah, I think so. But it's basically it's the people, you know, living there will affect the water in general. People and nature, you know, natural environment.
Yes.
I think it's a combination of these two factors.
So if people are living in an urban area, in a city area, there is a lot more kind of friction that goes along, and then most of the time it's just people stress, you know, trying to get through the day with everything they put on their plate. Is there something we can do to help change the water, to bring it up to a different vibrational level? Is there something we can consciously do?
Yeah, that's a good question. And because Dr. Emoto and I started the project of Love and Thanks to Water, as you explained, in year 2002, I believe. And the point is, we learned a lot from water through the message from water, the book message from water. Yes. So we wanted to give back to water.
Yes.
Something. So when we were thinking this way, you know, maybe it's a good idea to give love and gratitude to the water, back to the, you know, water. So we started this project, and in this project, we asked people to send their love and gratitude to the water. It's a kind of prayer.
Right,
it's
yes.
That's your consciousness.
Yes.
And then water will change. And because we checked using this water crystal technology, and after you sent your love and gratitude, the water showed, you know, better or more beautiful water crystals. And so even you are living in urban area, we can send our love and gratitude to the water, or even tap water or water circulating system, then it will change. But I believe that also we have to educate, or we have to tell the people about this kind of concept,
yes,
so that they can do, you know, naturally to send their love and gratitude to the water.
I interviewed a couple of years ago a young girl at the age of 9 who had written a book called 365 Days of Gratitude with a Positive Attitude. And it was just, you know, daily things about what she was grateful for. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect in interviewing her. And I was really kind of blown away at her simple articulation. And it was like, well, if something makes you unhappy, why continue it? Go do something that makes you more joyful. And I think, you know, children simplify it, but why do we overcomplicate things as an adult? And that, you know, a lot of the discord that we look at in life is brought about by us, right? Because of our discontent. We spend so much time being miserable over something instead of actually changing it, right? Now, if the quality of the water is not good, yes, you can address it at the source, maybe better purification or this or that. But the simple thing, and this has, of course, got nothing to do with religion, simply having gratitude for what you have.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And I think it changes the way we receive things as well. It doesn't just change the water or change the food. I think it changes our whole system and how we integrate it into ourselves as well.
Yeah, I agree what you said, just you, what you said. And, you know, water crystal technology is just, it's a technique, tools to visualize what you said. You know, I believe that if you say like a gratitude, you know, every day, then you will have an experience to say gratitude. You know, if you emit or you, if you send your love or gratitude to the cosmos and to the world, then you'll have experience that you want to say gratitude more and more, you know, every day. So this is a kind of a law of the nature or, you know, universe. And so it's a concept, but water crystal technology, you know, if you watch, if you see the water crystal with love and gratitude, then you can understand visually, oh, this is what happened. So maybe this is a very good point of Dr. Emoto's, you know, water crystal technology.
And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, but the science, you know, and the PhD and the alkaline and the this and that. And yes, all of that is important because it's very important you have the proper balances. You know, if you're over on the PhD or over on the alkaline, it can cause some problems. But, you know, that is up to the scientists, right? We hand that over to the scientists to manage the water. But, you know, this attitude of like, well, I'm not a scientist, what do I know? There's nothing I can do. Well, we as human beings can do so much, and a great deal of it is changing our attitude towards water, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And also, the maybe just I want to add something, you know, about the new science of water. And as you said, you know, the water is very important. If you send a good vibration to the water will show us very beautiful structure. But this function of water has been operating in our lifetimes since the beginning of the life, you know, during the evolution. And I believe this kind of water, the reaction or function of water to receive information and to transmit information is the most fundamental property of life itself. So water is basically, it's literally, it's a fundamental, you know, the most basic thing for our life. And after, during the evolution, maybe the proteins, you know, or cell structure or DNA or genetic material, just they, you know, appeared. But originally, the most important property is water and maybe light energy, you know, energy.
Well, it's like breath itself. I mean, we don't succeed, you know, we do not exist without breath. But we do not exist without water.
Right.
You know, not only within us, but around us. We need it to sustain us, and we are the water within us, and we cannot live without breath. We cannot live without water. So, you know, I think awareness, you know, of what sustains us, and then in gratitude of being aware of that, you know, changes the structure of everything in our lives. Because I think if we step more into gratitude, we would, you know, not only be more grateful for things, but probably have a better understanding of the importance of it, because we rather take things for granted, don't we?
Right. And as you said, the water, some people might think that water is one of the four elements, like fire, water, earth, and wind, or like that, or four or five elements. Before, I was thinking this way. But recently, I think the water for this planet, or for our life on this planet Earth, the water might be the most important, you know, component for us. And as you said, the water is everywhere, even in the air, you know, between you and me, just now, you know, through the water molecule in the air, we are connected. You know, everything on this planet. And so my information is transmitted to you just now through the water molecules in the air, you know, I believe. And so I believe that water as a whole on this planet may correspond to the collective consciousness of humanity itself.
Yes. Water, like air, is something we all have in common. I don't care who you are or where you come from or what your political or, you know, status is in life. You know, water is something every single one of us needs. You know, the common denominator. you know, and in our approach to water. Now, you know, what we are looking at and hearing a great deal today is the fact that we're running out of water. You know, our ice packs are melting, and you know, there is many countries that are in drought because of no water. I've also interviewed people who have wonderful innovations that can create moisture in the air. And of course, there's looking at the sea and, you know, being able to extract the salt from it, etc. You know, are you seeing any wonderful innovations around water that you know, can provide that sustainability that humans need?
Because as a scientist in water research, I respect Dr. Gerald Pollack. He's a professor at the University of Washington, and he's a chairman for the International Water Conference. And so he's literally one of the top water scientists. And we have some connection with him, and he's a very nice person, and he respected Dr. Emoto very much. And it's a kind of scientific, you know, detail or technology. But what he found is water can absorb the solar energy, sunshine energy, and the water is can be like a battery, rechargeable battery with light energy. And then after the water is charged with the solar energy, then we can get electric energy from this charged water. This is experimentally proved already, proven by Dr. Pollack. And so it may be possible that we can make some structure or light energy harvesting system using only water on a like a desert, you know, like just water and solar energy, then we can get electricity very simple way and very natural way. And also the sustainability, like it's a little complicated, but using his Dr. Pollack's concept, we can purify the contaminated water into pure water. And for example, it's possible that we can make pure water from seawater.
Yes, no, I have heard that.
Yeah, to eliminate like minerals, like chlorine or sodium chloride, and in a very simple way. And so this kind of thing I can think, you know. And but water is running out. And also another point is because we are having many water disasters related with water. And we believe that water and our collective consciousness are related, you know, very intimately. And so the reason why we experience such disasters, including even earthquakes, this is because our emotional body as a humanity is not clean enough. So we have to purify ourselves. It's amen about consciousness.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that. I mean, something I'm preaching all the time is that, you know, we as human beings are extraordinary, you know, incredible creators, but we're also the surge, you know, scourge of the planet. And we come down to that word choice again. What are we going to feed? And if we choose to feed, you know, the possibilities that serves humanity, all humanity, if we step into the consciousness of being aware and caring about each other, we will actually see entire frequency of this planet on every level expansionally grow. And that's not just the, you know, the water, but the earthquake stopping, but you know, things themselves growing more fruitfully. We will be content with less, because I think a lot of our gluttony and our need for overconsumption comes from dissatisfaction from within. We need to first address our inner selves and our own discontent. Why are we angry? Why are we bitter? Why are we fearful? Why do we blame everybody else? Why are we not taking responsibility? Why are we not stepping into what we can do to make a difference? Why are we not feeding, you know, the love, the care, the respect of one another? And it's I think it's as simple as stepping into that vibration to raise the chi, to raise the frequency, and to structurally help this planet heal. because we're causing the problems right now. Never mind causing the problems with fracking, you know, with the oil pipes, with drilling and all of that. We're causing the problems just simply with our vibration, our negative vibration.
Yeah, yeah. And our collective consciousness is made of the personal consciousness of our, you know, each person.
Every drop in the ocean counts.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And as you said, the Dr. Emoto's water crystal technology is he wanted to show the general people that your consciousness is affecting the water.
Yes.
This is a whole point. And right now I'm thinking, you know, very recently, some scientists are making a device which can show you that if you send love energy to the water, liquid water, and then this system will show you the change of the physical, chemical properties of the water in real time. And if you send the bad energy into the water, then this device will show the different property, that water has changed. And my purpose, I don't know, my goal or my vision is if we could make a small device which can operate on a stage or on a table, and then in front of this device, maybe this device has just 1 meter or, needle to show the level of love energy from 0 to 100.
We talked about this before the show, that I wanted to do a show with Robert Williams and yourself.
Oh,
because Robert Williams actually has created a device that goes on your phone that if anybody in the proximity of that raises their conscience, raises their heart consciousness, and water that changes our DNA back to a set point and raises our consciousness again by the way that it feeds us. So I'm so looking forward to have the two of you on together, because you're talking the same language, because I think you will be really blown away with what they've done. He himself is not a scientist, but spent 17 years going around studying various waters around the world and why they were different. So I think there's a synergy right there. That's another show, folks. It's going to be in December. But that's the thing, isn't it? It's that, I think it's like when we're around music. Mm-hmm. Or when we're around children, or when we're around animals that are in joy, it elevates us. We step into heart center. Yeah. And when we step into heart, we step into joy, and that elevates everything about us. So if we need devices to help us get into that, then I'm all for it. Anything that's going to shift your vibration to a more harmonious set of being.
Yeah, I believe so. Some people know this kind of thing intuitively. There's no problem. Oh, that's of course. But many other people don't know, this kind of power they have. So if I can demonstrate using this kind of device on a stage or during my presentation, and if some person send her love or his love into the device, and the device showed, now it's 100% love energy.
Yes.
And if he changed his attitude, he got angry, intentionally, then it showed zero love energy. This means that your energy or positive or negative will affect the things around this person immediately. So it's a feedback.
I would love to see this in families.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I would love to see this in political parties.
you can put this kind of monitor everywhere.
But also in media, because media sells fear.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right? It is, I always say they take a pimple and make it into a volcanic eruption. Everything blown out of proportion. So if there was actually on the TV thing a meter that showed the news that they were delivering and how negative it was and how positive it was, right?
Yeah,
I think it would
change
the way the media is done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because right now, maybe the general people likes, bad things more than good things, psychologically, or because of the influence from media. But if they know that your good energy will affect the everything in a good way, once they experience this, then they would change they are, you know, they would start to love the positive things.
Well, it's the energy begets energy. So if you're negative, yeah. you're going to yeah. attract negative.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're happy, you're going to attract happy. It's like when people want to look for a love partner.
Mm.
Well, you know, first and foremost, find the love within yourself.
Mm.
Find the love for yourself.
Mm.
Then you will find somebody who can match you in that love frequency, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And so
right,
if we want to be happier, we need to be around happier people.
Yeah, yeah. You would attract the happier people, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, you know, life is an inside job. You know, I think there's a big word I keep using in my shows too, which is called responsibility.
Oh.
And, you know, as human beings, we've got very much to the pointing the finger, their fault, their fault, their fault, you know, government's fault, you know, parents' fault, or, you know, the ex did me wrong, or the boss did me wrong. Well, you know, stuff is going to happen to you in your life, but how you react to it, what you learn from it, and what path you choose to walk because of that is your choice.
Yeah.
Your reaction is your choice. And if you want to raise your frequency, raise that beautiful crystallization in yourself, you know, you've got to be really responsible for your choices.
Yeah, that's right. I remember something interesting thing, because when you point somebody like this with your index finger,
yes,
you know, the other three fingers are pointing toward you.
Exactly. Right, folks.
Yeah.
Right back at you.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's also like, you know, pointing a finger is like the gun, I'm shooting you. And it's, you know, again, a negative connotation.
Mm.
And, you know, politicians, I mean, we have here John Bunzel, who's come up with a wonderful simple policy, which is a simultaneous policy for all governments, all politicians, all countries to adapt to, which puts them on an even playing field of what to address. So in other words, it's bipartisan, it's you know, cross-country, it's a language and an approach to addressing the problem that every country needs to have in order to get things done around climate change. And I think if we could step out of, you know, you and me, and start talking about we and us.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, we would see so many more options, because we are incredibly creative in finding solutions, right? If we stop feeding the problem.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when I was with Dr. Emoto in different countries, I found that the topics or talk about water, they understand in any religion, in any area, it doesn't matter. You know, water is so universal, you know. And also, when we started the project of Love and Thanks to Water, it was, I think, like 2004. In Liechtenstein, we had a water ceremony there. And at that time, we asked the people all over the world to send us the local water to Liechtenstein, you know. So we held our ceremony in Liechtenstein. And many people, like more than 200, I believe, they sent us their own local water to Liechtenstein. And it was a small village. And so the officials at the post office were very surprised. Why so many waters from all over the world? But anyway, we could collect many different waters.
Mm-hmm.
And about 100 people came to our ceremony there. And we asked each person to pour each container of water into a kind of big container.
Yeah.
You know, so every person got one water from somewhere in the world, and they poured the water into one big container. And I was, you know, as a MC, I was just looking at this scene, and I was very moved just by watching this scene, because the water is from all over the world, but it was, you know, poured into one big container, and the waters were mixed without any trace into one body of water. This, of course, you know, of course it's common sense. Of course we understand. But when I was looking for this, the water, you know, everywhere, there's no problem to mix each other. So this is a kind of symbolic for our true nature as a humanity.
You know, we see us come together when there's a crisis. You know, when something's happened, you know, a natural crisis or another crisis, we come together. Mm. Why can we not come together on a daily basis? Why do we always have to wait for a crisis? Mm. You know, if we could step into our humanity, if we could step into our caringness, stop looking at segregation and differences, you know, start looking at ourselves, you know, from the inside out. You know, this this body we're in is purely a vehicle that we're driving.
Right.
You know, you're Japanese, I'm British. You know, that's just the container we came in.
Yeah.
But the inside, we all seek the same things in life. You know, we wish to love and be loved. We wish to know that we're contributing and that we count in the world. You know, we want to live a life that, has a meaningful purpose to it.
Yeah.
You know, we want security. We want good health. Fundamentally, we're all looking for the same things.
Yeah, that's very important concept. Mm-hmm. And when you are in an airplane and you look down the earth, there is no border at all.
Right.
It's only the artificial map, you know, there is some border like that. Yeah. But there's no borders in the nature. And I think this is the truth of our, you know, humanity.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. On this Let's Get Sync series, we've had some wonderful people on each one of them bringing, you know, their contribution to it. And, you know, it's the fundamental thing that we're talking about here is the consciousness. You know, with Pure Necessity, with Robert Gehrig, it is about people, planet, profit. And this is something that we're having to look at. I mean, you know, we're looking at a certain company wanting to buy the rights for water that each country should have as their own right. If it's in your country, it should be your water, right? Not another company buying it and selling it back to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So somewhere along the line, we actually have to draw the line at profit at the expense of people and planet, right? And this only is going to happen if we consciously step up and say, no, no more. These practices are going to stop. And that, you know, we are going to invest in people. We're going to invest in all life forms here on the planet. We're going to respect this planet and what she needs and stop hurting her, because that's what we're doing. And and to realize that this planet gives us absolutely everything we ever needed. We don't need any more than what she gives us.
Yeah, so,
again, stepping into that consciousness, but stepping into the gratitude of what we have. All right. And in that gratitude, understanding we are residents here on this planet. We don't own it. And so
that's right.
You know, we're paying rent, so to speak. And so we need to leave this planet know, as we found it, which actually maybe that's not such a good statement anymore. We need to leave it better than we found it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with what you said. And sometimes I'm thinking about the, you know, primordial state of the planet. Like in the very ancient times, the nature should be more, of course, more beautiful without any pollutions. And I believe we have to return the earth to the original, you know, conditions.
Yes.
This is our responsibility.
Yeah.
Maybe one generation is not enough, but anyway, we have to, you know, make this, you know, the planet into the original, you know.
Are you noticing amongst, you know, the young conscious people, you know, the millennials and those that come after them, that they are being more conscious about this? You know, I have three millennial children. My son's birthday today, actually.
Happy birthday.
But each one of them has chosen a path where they give back, or where they sustain the planet, or where they are very conscious about what they have and what their contribution and what they take from the planet. And, you know, this is part of the way they were brought up, but an also great deal of it is the consciousness, I think, of the collective with the a lot of the millennials. So I think they've looked at what we've done and go, no, there's going to be no planet left if we continue on this.
Yeah,
and then we have to make the change. So are you noticing amongst our younger generations a different approach to water?
Oh, different approach to water. I don't know. Just I heard about the one young person who tried to clean the pollution in the ocean.
Yes.
know, to make some big device to get the, right, or the
plastic, yeah,
plastics like, yeah, that. And so, yeah, I believe this kind of the idea, or, you know, we have to realize, you know, in any way. So,
yeah,
it's also the, of course, basically, I think that our consciousness is the most important factor. Yeah. But also, at the same time, you have to do some action, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Or it's maybe if we change, we could succeed in changing our collective consciousness. Then I believe that naturally, the many people start to do something, you know. For
and the thing is that, you know, a lot of people say, why is this under Eco Solutions, you know, and you know, they say the reason why it is that we cannot address the change of climate until we change the climate within us.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So the conscious climate has to change for our actions to change.
Yeah. That's right. The climate in the atmosphere, the outside, the climate outside is a reflection of, as you said, it's an inside, you know, our own climate. You know, that's a good expression, I think.
So, you know, the thing is that we've got to stop waiting for someone else to do it, and we've got to look to ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just the practices of what you do. I mean, we know that meat manufacturing, because it's not meat farming anymore, it's meat manufacturing, consumes so much water, more water than we do as humans as a daily basis, so much grain that could feed an entire country.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, the, I think it's the carbon dioxide, but I'm not quite sure which chemical that's setting off, but that is hurting the atmosphere. Mm. And so, you know, we have to look at that and go, okay, do I consciously stop eating meat, or do I only buy it if it's from organic, ethically farmed animals? Mm. The thing is, as consumers, we will dictate where things go, right? So if we stop buying the things that are wrong and we start purchasing a more conscious way of consuming, we're going to change those industries.
As a consumer,
yeah,
I think so. I agree. Yeah, yeah.
So if we want to save water, because of course when we're talking about global warming, you know, we're talking about the ice packs are melting, the sea water is rising, we have droughts in various countries, water shortage is going to soon be upon us. But there are things we can do. We don't just sit back and wait for the disaster. We become more conscious of how much water we consume in a day, you know, how much time we spend in the shower, in washing the dishes or anything else. We, you know, we become more conscious of obviously waste instead of it ending up in the sea, of the way we consume our food. This is the thing, is a lot of people say, but what can I do? I'm only one person. Well, change your consciousness.
Become
more aware on how you shop, your usage of water, but most importantly, your vibration around yourself and those around you, because that changes the water within you.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so the you can change yourself, of course, first. Then your vibration, of course, you are emitting your vibration to the all over the world immediately. So it's maybe we start within ourselves, of course, but then the effect will go all over the world, like ripples on the pond, you know.
Yes. Exactly. The ripple effect is incredibly powerful. And, you know, it both ways. You know, if you're negative and miserable, that is rippling out to people. So if you choose to be, you know, more joyful, and of course it's unreasonable to say, oh, you've got to be joyful all the time, because we can't be, you know, we have down times. But then what do you do in those down times that's going to nurture you back into a more equilibrium where your vibration can rise again? It's not just give in to it, is it? So we again have to take that responsibility to what will sustain our joy, what will sustain our good vibration, and be aware of it and know how to nurture ourselves.
Yeah. So the gratitude is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And And also the because the experience, life experience is very precious for us. Mm-hmm. Even it looks very bad or you know it looks very sad, but the experience is a very precious thing for us, I believe. You know,
here on selfdiscoveryradiotv.com, I've interviewed people who have gone through some of the most horrific things in life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, mm-hmm. and you look at it and go, how did they survive? But mm. they not only survived, mm. by going through the process, mm. they have come out the other side so mm. much more whole, so much more complete. They've stepped yeah. into their meaningful purpose. They've stepped into that love and gratitude of self, of life. And they've stepped into a better understanding.
Yeah.
So, life is about the suffering, but you don't have to stay in suffering.
Mm.
You're willing to take the journey through it, through the transition. Mm. It's the redirect and step into your calling, your purpose, because we all have one, and do it with passion and with love. You will actually understand why you had a negative in the first place, because we always get to a positive by coming from a negative, don't we?
Yeah, but you, I agree. Because recently I was thinking at that point, and because even when I think about my own life, you know, I had many, not many, I don't know, but any bad experiences.
Yes.
And so I had a worst time. But if, you know, I had only, you know, good time in my life, then I would not be aware of this kind of, you know, concept. Like our consciousness will affect water like that. Because if we are kind of happy in all the time, then we don't think much about the world or cosmos or our consciousness. No. But when we have a very bad time, then we go deep into ourselves. Mm. Then I believe we sooner or later, we can get back to the surface, you know, even it's very deep, but we can come back. And then after that, we become a lot more aware of the things around us.
Yes.
So life is very contradictory. It's what you say. Like it's a contradiction. I don't know.
But
I forgot the English name. But anyway, it's a full of, you know, not a straight word. But
well, I mean, in science, you have to have a negative and a positive, right? So there will always be some negatives. Even if you have found positivity in your life, that doesn't mean something negative is not going to happen to you.
Mm.
But it does mean that you are more equipped to deal with it. You're not going to go down the rabbit hole. You know how to deal with it so that you can get back to a more positive. And there's always something positive, even out of the darkest disaster. There's always something that could be found out of it. And but I actually have found that with a lot of scientists today, when you talk about consciousness, you know, it's still considered a woo-woo type thing. But a lot of scientists now are actually understanding that those that choose to live on a higher elevation of consciousness, that they can actually measure that consciousness.
Oh.
And they actually understand at that higher frequency and vibration how it resonates out, how the signal goes out. And so they're beginning to actually understand this from a scientific point of view of the benefits of raising our consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there are several methods to measure the vibration of our collective consciousness like that. And I know some scientists also, and maybe one of them is the people at the HeartMath Institute in the USA. Maybe you heard about that.
Sorry, what is it?
HeartMath.
Math
is mathematics, you know.
Math. Okay, yes.
Yeah, and they are measuring the heart rate variability. It's a kind of technical, but they are measuring the heartbeat.
Yes.
You know. And then if your heartbeat is not constant, I mean, if it's changing like this way, then you are relaxed. Mm-hmm. And if it's very constant, it means you are stressed.
Ah,
you
know.
It's a kind of common sense in medicine. Mm-hmm. And this, so if you do meditation, if you calm down your, you know, energetic body or your physical body, then the your state of consciousness will be reflected in the measurement of this, you know, heart rate variability. Or other scientist is Roger Nelson. I know he's a leader of the Global Consciousness Project. He's from Princeton University, and it's called the Global Consciousness Project, GCP, in short. And he's using a random number generator. It's a very kind of device, small device, which will give you the random numbers all the time.
Yes.
But if you send your consciousness, or if the collective consciousness of humanity change, somehow this random number generator will give you a kind of not random numbers, somehow. We don't know the mechanisms, but this device is just you know, electronic device. So it's supposed to give you the random numbers. You know, it's digital, so 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, yeah, like that, random numbers all the time. And we can check statistically that if this number is really random or not random. And on this planet, like more than about 100 places, they are monitoring this output from their random number generator. And when we have very tragic, like I don't know, the princess of the Diana, you know, passed away many years ago. At that time, many people on this planet were very sad about this news. At that time, the output from many random number generators changed very much. You know, we don't know why. This is just a physical device, so it shouldn't change anything at all. But somehow our collective consciousness changed this kind of physical device. So this is another way to measure the state of our collective consciousness, like that.
We need to see more of that. People need to see this is fact. This is science.
You
know, this is a real bona fide, you know, approach to life, and that, you know, people who have found an outlet, you know, through meditation. For some people, it might be jogging, it might be yoga, it might be meditation. But it's find something that brings you back to your center. You know, I had Michel Pascal on, who's a big a monk who teaches meditation. He takes people into Times Square to teach them how to meditate. He says, how to become the mountain amongst the chaos. He says, all very well meditating when it's peaceful and quiet. How do you find the peace and calm within you amongst the tornado?
Wonderful. Right? I see. Yeah.
I mean, we all get a tornado around us nowadays. So, and that is something that we have to gain, be conscious and choose to find within us, right?
Yeah.
Because we need to do it not only for our own health, you know, our own sustainability, but for those that are around us, because how we are is how we're going to affect the people right around us.
Yeah, that point is actually, I believe that that point is what we are learning just now.
Yes.
Or maybe it's a purpose for us to be here just now to learn or to become aware of this kind of, you know, things.
Yes.
Yeah.
The willingness to be aware, the willingness to actually even look at our consciousness, to the willingness to raise it up. You know, the willingness to let anger go. You know, everybody's had somebody who's had someone that's hurt them. You don't stay in the pain. You learn from it and you move on. You learn the lessons from it, but never with bitterness, never with hate. You know, because that serves no one. You just stay in that stew of your negative vibration. And it can get very hard to get out of it because you become very comfortable in it. It's there's no responsibility in being angry and hateful. You're not taking any accountability. The accountability is when you choose to step into your consciousness and say, I may be angry, but I'm not going to hate. I may disagree with what you say, but I'm not going to hate you for it. So, you know, if we can get rid of that hate word, learn to listen, why does that person feel that way? We may have a better understanding and open our consciousness a lot more. So.
Yeah, that's a really the key point for us right now.
Yes.
Yeah, you said very well. Yeah, I think so.
It's great to come across someone like you that is, you know, scientific and a conscious raiser, because, you know, for us to actually understand the science, we need to understand, you know, our ignition our igniting of our consciousness, because at the present moment, that is the science, isn't it? The elevation of our consciousness, our practices, our thoughts, our actions, our words, our deeds is what we need in order to save this planet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So very important with the work you're doing. And having said that, how do people find you? And is there any upcoming talk or anything else that you're going to be doing that's going to come up in the next while? You're airing in November, so have you got anything coming up in December or next year?
Just now I have some presentation in Japan. In foreign countries, I don't have any fixed plan just now. But if you know somebody who is listening to this interview, if they want to host or organize some seminar or workshop or you know, in their own countries, I'm very happy to cooperate with them.
And how do they find you?
My email address, or maybe my email address is, my name is Yasuyuki Nemoto. It's a Japanese name.
You're going to have to spell that out maybe. For the audience, please.
Yeah, on your website, or shall I tell the spelling?
Yes, please.
Just now?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
just I try.
For the people who are listening.
Yasuyuki Nemoto. Yasuyuki is my first name. Nemoto is my family name. And I'll tell you the spelling. Yasuyuki, Yasuyuki. And you put dot. And Nemoto, family name, Nemoto. Nemoto, it sounds like Emoto, you know, my boss, Emoto.
Yes.
Emoto, and you just put N at the, you know, as a first letter, then Nemoto. And so this is, and then after that, at mark, at, and hado.com, hado, H-A-D-O dot com, C-O-M. I'll repeat, Yasuyuki dot Nemoto at mark, H-A-D-O dot C-O-M. Yeah.
And so, of course, you're on Facebook as well, which is Yenimoto 1, which is Y-N-E-M-O-T-O 1 on Facebook. And so people can get hold of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yenimoto 1. This is my Facebook account.
Great. And so people can find what's going on there, and et cetera. And, you know, I do want you back with Robert Williams. I think that's going to be a great
show. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Most
certainly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this is what people need to understand. Yes, we need physical action in the world. We need innovation. We need creative waves of sustaining our water. We are seeing so many people, you know, take plastic, make roads out of it, make houses out of it, recycle it, you know, but we've got to stop being wasteful. To start off with, you know, the consciousness is that we've got to stop treating this planet as a big garbage pit. Right? So that is in the consumerism, that is in our waste, that is our consciousness of how we, our footprint on this planet. And if we want to be not the problem anymore, if we want to be the solution, we need to consciously step into our own consciousness of what our contribution is. And be very mindful of it. That's the only way we're going to change things. We want the water to be crystal, folks. We don't want that angry water. We want it to be crystal. I really love the idea of the device. I'd love to see it on the news. I'd love to see
it thank you.
Media.
Yeah.
I think that would be brilliant. Because show people how much negativity they're getting a day. Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm, I would like to thank you. And your program is contributing to raise the consciousness of humanity, I'm sure.
You know, we are utterly awesome creatures when we step into it. And, you know, this is the invitation right now. It's an inspiration for invitation that we are such ordinary people doing exemplary things, extraordinary things. And to understand that it's not what everybody else is doing, it's what are we doing as an individual. And by stepping into our consciousness is that first step. So. So thank you for coming and sharing it with us here.
Thank you.
Let's Get Sync series.
Sarah,
And, you know, please, folks, follow us. It's on selfdiscoveryradiotv.com under Eco Solutions, the Let's Get Synced series. And you'll see everybody that's been on here. And it's wonderful people. just like yourself being on here, that are contributors to what they're bringing to raising our consciousness, what they're doing with businesses, with politicians, with their countries. And it's really wonderful to see. We are the solution. Let's step into that, because it's so much more productive and I'm so much more friendly. It's also so much more pleasing, isn't it, to ourselves, to know that we're a part of that. So thank you so much for being with us here today.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Until next time, folks, bye for now.
Yeah, bye-bye, folks.
For more wonderful shows like this, please go to selfdiscoveryradio.com, podcasts, and see our lineup. And if you wish to support us, we have a funded button. Please stay tuned for our next show.